We're going to come to the reading of God's Word now, and that can be found in Mark chapter 5, verse 21, and that's page 1007 of your pew Bibles. Two very well-known stories to us all. And this is the Word of God. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. When Jesus had crossed again over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers, named Jairus, came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they say, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went to where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately, the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Amen. And may the Lord bless and challenge us by the reading of his word. His name was Jairus. He was a leader in the church. He would help to organize the services. He would gather the money. He would sort some of the practical stuff out. He was a reasonably important man in his community. His 12-year-old daughter was sick, and she wasn't getting any better. In fact, she was getting worse. He feared that she would die. No one was able to help her. He was helpless. He was breaking inside. He was going to lose his little girl. Then he heard that Jesus was close. He had heard about all the things that Jesus had done. Maybe he had even seen some of it. So he decided to go to Jesus, believing that if Jesus laid his hands on his daughter, she would be healed. Her name was, well, actually, we don't even know her name, but she was a woman who for the last 12 years had suffered from bleeding. She had tried all the doctors that she could afford, and now she was worse, suffering every day. And now she had no money left. Add to this the fact that she was classed as unclean in society because of the blood. She couldn't enter the church or go to the temple to worship God or to offer sacrifices. Plus, if anyone touched her, they would be unclean as well. People stayed away from her. They would cross the street if they saw her coming up the road. Many treated her like she was a leper. She probably feared that she would die. No one could help her. She was helpless. She was breaking inside. Life was awful. She had heard that Jesus was about. And she saw Jesus in the midst of a crowd that were going down the road to Jairus' house. And she believed that his power could heal her. If only she could just touch him, just even the corner of his cloak. In these stories, we see radical faith. We see radical faith in Jesus, faith in his power and in who he really is. We see them coming to Jesus in the depths of human despair and helplessness. And as the love, compassion, and power of Jesus interacted with their stories, we then see hope, joy, and life. Remember the context of everything we read in Mark comes from Mark chapter 1:1. Mark's goal was that those reading this book would have faith in Jesus, seeing Jesus as the Messiah, the one sent to save, the Son of God. Mark was showing his readers that Jesus was the Son of God and that they should have faith in him. Until this point, what have we seen in Mark? We've seen, well, that Jesus was a powerful teacher and a preacher. He had power over illness. He had power over demons. He had power over nature. And as we arrive at these amazing miracles, we see that Jesus has power even over death. Mark was proving beyond a doubt that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the one in whom we all should have faith. And as we consider these stories this morning and how they responded to Jesus, the Son of God, I think that Mark is calling us to more than faith, but he is calling us to radical faith in Jesus. In response to the radical life of Jesus, our Messiah, the Son of God. As we this morning are challenged by their encounter with Jesus, we should be challenged about our own encounter with Jesus. Why do I think that this is so important to do today? Well, simply, and I think I've said this before, but I am worried about the state of faith in our land, in Northern Ireland. Is there a faith problem? Could it be said that many people's faith is actually just superstition? Or is it really life-changing, community-changing, other people-saving faith, where we are living radically transformed lives, truly believing in Jesus, that he is the Messiah, he is the Son of God, and that everyone needs to know him and respond to the good news of Jesus? As Christians, we have the best news, the ultimate source of hope for the world, true joy and real life. But yet, the church is shrinking. And Christianity is being pushed out of society. Is there a faith problem? If if we are not producing a crop. 30, 60, 100 times, being fruitful, showing the fruit of the Spirit, using our spiritual gifts, and actively leading others to Jesus Christ, then maybe the answer is yes. Yes, there is a faith problem. So let us look at the challenge of this passage as it calls us to radical faith. And first, we see that radical faith starts as we hear about Jesus. In their encounters with Jesus, both Jairus and this woman had heard about Jesus. They knew about the miracles and his teachings. The countryside was buzzing about what Jesus was doing. And through his compassion, wherever he went, he brought hope. In our encounter with Jesus, the same is true of us. This is how we came. This is how we come to faith. We hear about Jesus and his life, the wonderful things he did and how he was a servant, how he came from heaven for us to save us, to die to save us, as a substitute for us, receiving our punishment so that we could be righteous. And then that we could then know God and the wonder of heaven and not the horror of hell. Because of this, we know about the compassion of Jesus and the hope he brings to our living and dying. Then how can we help the world to encounter Jesus? If we want those around us to have faith, then they need to hear about Jesus. Yes, importantly, they do this by seeing the difference Jesus makes to our living as they watch us. But they also must hear us telling them about Jesus and what he did for all of us on the cross, the power and the necessity of his birth, life, death, and resurrection. Through showing and talking about the compassion of Jesus, we can bring hope to the world. We then see that radical faith starts as we realize that we need Jesus. In their encounter with Jesus, both Jairus and the woman believed that Jesus could help them. They knew they needed help. They realized their own helplessness. They couldn't save the situation they were in. At their lowest point, they put their faith in Jesus, believing that he alone could help them. He alone could save. They relied on the compassion of Jesus for their hope. In our encounter with Jesus, when we first came to faith, was this the case? We realized our own helplessness. That we can't help or save ourselves, that without Jesus we are lost in sin, heading for a lost eternity. The lowness of this realization lifts our eyes to Jesus and his love for us. Jesus' compassion brings us hope. But how then can we help the world to encounter Jesus? We tell our testimony, our story of faith to those who are around us, as they see and understand how we came to a place where we realized our helplessness and our need of Jesus. Through then the conviction of the Holy Spirit in their lives, we pray that they will realize that they also need Jesus, that they are helpless, that his compassion is the only way to hope. But they need to know our stories. And then we see that radical faith starts as we kneel humbly before Jesus, express our faith and confess. In their encounter with Jesus, in Jairus' encounter with Jesus, realizing his need, what did he do? It says, seeing Jesus, he fell on his feet. He pleaded with him earnestly. He said, my little daughter is dying. Please come lay your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. Jairus had an intense conviction that Jesus could help. So strong was his faith in Jesus that even though there was a crowd, and as a church leader, a man of standing. He would never kneel before anyone. Knowing also that the Pharisees hated Jesus, he still went and he surrendered to Jesus. He knelt humbly before Jesus and expressed his faith in him. And this was massive for him. This was a massive thing for Jairus to do. We see then that Jesus had compassion on Jairus and came with him, giving him hope. She was a brave woman. Looking at the crowd that were pushing around Jesus, she probably remembered all of those times that she had been shunned over the last 12 years. If people realized that she was in the crowd, what would they do? What would they say? But like Jairus, she had an intense conviction that she needed to come to Jesus, so she did. Pushing through the crowd, she was terrified, but there it was. There it was, the edge of his cloak, and she knelt down and she touched it. She was healed. Then she heard Jesus saying that somebody had touched him. And you know when I used to hear that, I used to kind of visualize this, that Jesus was being harsh, somebody has touched, you know. I don't know why I did that. But now as I imagine it, I imagine that he spoke those words with love and compassion. And she knew then what she had to do. She confessed, telling the whole truth in front of the crowd. She was brave. And with compassion, Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." In our encounter with Jesus, when we realize our need of Jesus, we need to kneel before Jesus, surrendering to him and expressing our faith to and in him, asking him to save us because we have an intense conviction that only Jesus can help us, only Jesus can save him. We also need to confess the whole truth, the reason for our helplessness. Our sin. Interestingly, you know, Jesus didn't call out the woman for his sake, but it was for her sake. By confessing and then hearing the words of Jesus, she received assurance that her faith had healed her and nothing else. And similar is true of us. We need to confess our sins to God. As we speak out the whole truth of them, not just some blanket prayer with, "Lord, forgive me for my sin," but we speak out the confessions, the sins. As we do that, we understand the change that needs to happen in our lives, and we take responsibility for our sin. We confess it to Jesus, and we repent. We get down on our knees before him. We surrender to him, and we will then know that we are forgiven. It gives us assurance, and we go out then to live repentant lives for Jesus. Regardless of who we are, high or low, we need to kneel before Jesus and humbly surrender our lives to him, expressing our faith to him and confessing our sin. And then follow Jesus, living for him, living with and in the hope we have because of his compassion to us. How can we then help the world to encounter Jesus? Well, simple, as we live repentant lives surrendered to Jesus, not holding on to our sin, living for his glory and honor, being his witnesses. Being his witnesses wherever we are. We must express our faith in Jesus and in what he has done for us, even when it is tough, even when we face opposition, we do it. In this passage, we also see how we can live out radical faith. as we come to Jesus, expecting him to do amazing things. As they both came to Jesus, their radical faith, their faith was so great that they expected Jesus to do great and amazing things, and Jesus did. As we live lives of radical faith, do we expect Jesus to do amazing things in and through our lives? The most amazing thing that he has done for us is that he has saved us. Do we live with the expectation that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we will be his witnesses, making disciples in all nations, that he will use us to gain a harvest of 30, 60, 100 times, living for his glory and honor? Or do we just really want amazing things for ourselves? And as we live out radical faith, we walk with Jesus through the good times and the bad times. Jesus was coming to Jairus' house. It was all good for Jairus. He even witnessed Jesus stopping and healing this woman. The hope was rising in his heart, and then the messenger came. Honestly, it is easy to be a Christian when the going is good, but when it gets difficult, that is when we know that we have to delve deep into our radical faith. And maybe this is you today. You're finding it hard to be a Christian. It's just difficult to live out your faith. It seems like everything around you is against you. Maybe illness has helped, unemployment has come, some other thing has come to attack you, and you struggle to see the hope. Maybe then you need to hear the words of Jesus. Ignoring what they said, Jesus said to the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Remember, this was the worst news Jairus could possibly get. And Jesus, full of compassion, reassured him. I can see how Jesus maybe put his arm on him and said, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." Are these the words that you need to hear today as you walk with Jesus? Don't be afraid. Just believe. Be encouraged and reassured by the words of Jesus. And walk through the good and the bad times with him. And you know, you may never know the powerful witness that can have to the people around you and how God can use all things for his glory. And then as we live out radical faith, we live out radical faith as we walk with Jesus, even through ridicule. As they entered the house, the mourners then laughed at the hope which Jesus gave to this family. But Jesus never let the family give up hope. They pressed on regardless of what was happening, of the laughter, of the ridicule. And the same is true today. Christians are ridiculed in society. We are actually in a place where we are laughed at about our faith. We are increasingly being attacked and even called evil for our faith. But our response should be the same as Jesus, just to continue on. Continue to be compassionate, loving, and bringing the hope and the good news of Jesus, bringing hope to the world. Note also that Jesus brought others with him. He brought some of the disciples. He brought the mother and the father as he went to do this miracle and bring hope and to bring love. We also need the support of those around us as we live out radical faith in the face of ridicule. If we try to do it ourselves, it won't work. Simply, a radical faith means we witness where we are in the good, bad, and even in the times of ridicule. We live for God. Because we live out our radical faith as we follow Jesus' compassionate commands. I love the end of this story. It's amazing. And he told them to give her something to eat. Practical, but it was compassion. At the end of the story, we have the compassion of Jesus. In the middle of the story, we have the compassion of Jesus. At the start of the story, we see the compassion of Jesus for others. And as a people of radical faith, compassion for others should run throughout the stories of our lives. And as we finish, what's the significance of 12? Do you notice in the passage, the lady had been sick for 12 years. The child was 12 years old. Was Mark making a reference to Israel, to the 12 tribes of Israel in these stories? The woman, she was ceremonially unclean, unable to enter the temple and to come before God. The little girl, she was dead. And sadly, at that time, Israel, in regards to faith in God, was unclean. In fact, they were dead in faith. They were not following God as the people of God. They had lost their way, lost the importance of radical faith. But Jesus could change all of that. All they had to do was to do as Jesus preached, and it was to repent and believe the good news. To have faith in Jesus, radical faith. Is this what he is saying to us as a church today? There is a faith problem in the church. But we can come to Jesus, and as we come to Jesus, let us obey the call to radical faith in him that leads us to live lives that call others to radical faith in Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. The call to radical faith starts as we hear about Jesus. We realize our need for Jesus. We humbly kneel before him, expressing our faith and confessing to him. As we come to Jesus, expecting him to do amazing things, walking with him through the good and the bad times, even through the difficult ridicules that we will have over this next number of decades. And then being compassionate like Jesus. Do we live lives of radical faith? Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we pray that you will help us to be a compassionate people like Jesus was, to bring your hope and your love and compassion into the different circumstances we find ourselves in. Help us to be a people not of just of faith, but of radical faith that makes a radical difference to our lives, and we make a radical difference in the world because of the good news of Jesus that we bring. Help us to be brave as we do that. Help us to be confident in you. Lord, challenge us to be a people living all out for you. Take those things in our lives that are stopping us, those things in our lives are influencing us negatively, so that we can live radical lives of radical faith for our radical Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.